And you've got the bookmarks. If you don't have the bookmarks, you'll be able to see them here. There is a picture on the front of the Nativity story, and then on the back there was an outline. But there's more to it than that. The first week we talked about the hope of Mary and how the angel visited her, and she had found favor in God's eyes, and she was going to have a son, and he would be called Jesus. And then we talked about Joseph, the testimony of Joseph, or the courage of Joseph, and how it took a lot of courage because of his position and who he was to say yes and be willing to take Mary as his wife, even though she was pregnant and things. And so it was the courage that he had. The third week, we went on and talked about the Magi and the wise men as they traveled and searching through the skies. They're not even part of the tribe of Israel. They were not even Jewish people. And yet they noticed this star. And they followed the star and they went to worship Jesus Christ, who was the king. And then last week, we talked about the love of God. And it was the love of God that caused Jesus Christ to step down out of heaven, to leave heaven, and to come to earth. And so maybe you're starting to see, you're starting to get the picture. When you look at all of these four together, Colin, go to the next one. They create one big picture. See, God has a plan, and he has a purpose. And when all four groups were willing to do their part, or willing to do, then God's picture was complete, and God was able to fulfill it. So this is the Nativity story. That's what we've been talking about these past 4 weeks. So I don't know if any of you actually had the bookmarks and put them together and figured it out before this. So that is it. That is the story there. But today we want to talk about something a little bit different. The message that I have is called The Cradle, The Cross, and The Crown. Go ahead, Colin. Go to the next one there. And it's from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. And it's another Christmas day has arrived. We're getting close to the end of the year. Okay? This year may have been a challenging one for you. Go ahead and back up one, Colin, if you can, just to the... Okay. Maybe it's been a challenging one for you. It's been a rough year with the economy the way it is, with job layoffs, with things. But we have gathered together today. We have gathered here to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the babe of Bethlehem, the greatest miracle of love there ever was. And Christmas and Christian faith, we have symbols. Okay? We have symbols such as the Advent wreath, maybe lights on a Christmas tree. This morning, I want to talk to you briefly about some of the greatest symbols of our faith, and they are the cradle, the cross, and the crown. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, the first part we want to look at is the cradle. And in verses 5 through 8, it says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." The fantastic Christmas story is great news that God sent a baby to the doorsteps of the world. He was not born in a king's palace. He wasn't even placed in a nice, smooth, wooden cradle. Although his earthly father was Joseph and a carpenter, and he could have done that. However, they weren't at home. They had to travel because of the census that was being taken. And so Jesus, his cradle, was a manger, a place where animals are fed. That's where he was placed that Christmas morning. The manger would have been possibly filled with straw as they laid him in the manger, as they laid him in that cradle. Jesus would have been there. The miracle of the universe, God became a man. Tharcisse Rivera wrote, "The hands of God, that had tumbled galaxies and solar systems into space became the small hands of an infant. The feet of God that had roamed through fiery planets became the tiny feet of a baby. That cradle on that morning hosted the mighty miracle of the incarnation. The one who spoke the universe into existence, taking upon himself our humanity. This is why the nativity scenes that we see around at this time of year are so sacred to us at this Christmas time. Because you see, in that cradle, in that manger, the heart of God was wrapped in human flesh. This part's going to be fun. Not only is the cradle significant to us as Christians, but so is the cross. Like I said, I've never done this altogether. Now I got to walk around. The cross is significant to us. And in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Someone once said that Jesus was born in the shadow of the cross. He was born so that he may die. His ultimate purpose of coming to this earth was his death, his burial, and his resurrection. On the outside of our church, maybe you noticed it when you came in, we have recently installed a cross, and it's mounted just up there. We've never had a cross on the outside of our church, but we have one now, and we're getting all these comments on how beautiful that cross looks. During the day, if you drive by, there's this nice big black cross up there, and at night, if you drive by, it's illuminated, and you can see the light shining from behind the cross. And we get all kinds of compliments on how beautiful it is. Well, since we put it up and it's on Facebook, we know we have pictures of it, and people said, oh, it's beautiful. And it is. And many of us, you may have a cross. Sometimes we wear them around our necks. You may have a cross that has been made at your house. And they're probably beautiful crosses. But hopefully, the cross is more than just something that is beautiful. It is something that is symbolic of our faith, the faith of the cross. The preacher Sam Shoemaker once asked this question. Listen to this question. What do you think God told Jesus that holy night he sent him down to earth? Have you thought about that? What do you think Jesus said to God that night when he sent him down to earth? Ponder that thought. Then he went on to suggest, as Jesus left the portals of heaven, as he came down to earth, just imagine Jesus turning to his Father and asking this question, Father, what shall I tell the people down on earth? The Father might have replied, Son, don't complicate it with big words. Make it simple. Just tell all the people on the earth that I love them. For you see, that's clearly the message of Christmas. God is telling you, I love you. I love you enough to send my one and only Son to live and to die for you. Mary and Joseph were told that their son would be born and that he would be the Savior of all the earth. And it says that Mary pondered these things, and she must have spent a lot of time thinking about it. Even that night that her son was born, thinking about him being the Savior of the whole world. You see, the cradle and the cross are symbols that we use. And the third symbol that we have in our faith is the crown. Oh yeah, this is going to be really fun. We have the crown. This is really going to be good. Oh, yeah. It actually worked. Miracles. So continuing in our reading, starting at verse 9, it says, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Bethlehem was the city of David the king. From his human ancestry, Jesus was born in a family of royalty to King David. This is the very reason why Joseph and Mary had to travel so that they could be registered, so that they could be enrolled because of the census that was being taken. Listen to the words of Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over the kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." We may also recall the question of the wise men as they had traveled. They said, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." The chief priests and the scribes kind of gave him an answer from the book of Micah. It says, "In Bethlehem, O Judea, of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will govern my people Israel." See, it was mentioned back then, and some of the great hymns that we sing talk about the kingship of Jesus. But you know what? So do many of the Christmas carols that we sing. Think about them. I'll give you some lines. I'm not singing them, okay? But I will give you some lines. Think about these. "Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. Praises sing to God the King. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. With the angels let us sing, Alleluia to our King. And veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." See, even as he was wrapped up and he was cradled in the manger, realizing that the cross lay before him, Jesus was the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Thank you. For you see, the cradle and the cross and the crown, they're all tremendous symbols to us as Christians. But hopefully you have more than just a cradle faith, which brings you to a church on a Christmas morning or Christmas Eve. Hopefully you have a cross faith, a faith believing that Jesus Christ died for you. And even more than that, a crown faith, that he rose from the dead and that he offers it to you. He offers life to you, and you can have life because of Jesus Christ. So you see, our faith is a cradle faith, a cross faith, and a crown faith. I have a video I'd like for you to watch. We're getting ready to go into a time of communion. And the question is, you've heard the message, you know the story. How will you respond? And that's what communion is about. Communion is our response to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has come, and because of that, we can have union with God. We can be with God. Storm.
came like a winter snow. Quiet and soft and slow. Falling from the sky.
Sky.